is first up. Every morning, come and hang on first up. The only show that brings the bang. It's first up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last. First morning without snow in the city of Toronto in a couple of days, and we are bringing the heat for you here on First Up this morning. Welcome in. I'm Aaron Karolnik. Carlo Kuliakovo is away today. He'll be back on Friday, I believe. But thrilled to welcome in our good buddy from the Toronto Star, Dave Feschuk, as the co-host this morning in a very, very filled show of content, good content only, Dave. The Raps, not the best performance last night, to say the least, putting up just 91 points against the Memphis Grizzlies, losing by 7 to a team without Ja Morant, their best player, but the Raps banged up in their own respect. We have Leo Routens joining us at 9:30 to discuss that. We have the Toronto Maple Leafs, a epic tilt tonight between two of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League, the Colorado Avalanche in town. They have been on fire, much like the Leafs have been, and it's actually a clash of the team that has allowed the fewest goals in the last 6 weeks in the Maple Leafs and the team that has scored the most goals in the Colorado Avalanche, over 4 per game, and led by nasty Nazem Kadri, who has been on fire for Colorado, and things couldn't get any better for the Avs, Dave. Nathan MacKinnon makes his return tonight as well.
This is going to be a fun one, and you're right, Nazem Kadri. I mean, a lot of Leaf fans still hold a place in their heart for old number 43, who's had 16 points in his last 7 games. I mean, in a contract year, I might add, unrestricted free agent this summer. It's going to be a very, very good negotiation for Nazem Kadri if things keep going the way they're going.
That's a game you can hear tonight on TSN 1050 at 7:30. Very much looking forward to that because we haven't seen Colorado, I mean, since pre-pandemic, and they are just chock full of stars. Makar and MacKinnon and Kadri and Rantanen and Bowen Byram. I mean, this team is absolutely loaded. And when you're talking about Stanley Cup contenders, and I think you have to put the Leafs in that conversation right now, just the way they've been playing. And yeah, they're reeling off wins, 14 of 16, but it's probably more so the way that they're winning, right? I mean, it's stud goaltending from Jack Campbell, the defensive play. I mentioned how few goals they're allowing. Uncharacteristic based on the last 5 years, the way that the Toronto Maple Leafs have played. It's clearly a shift in mindset, and Alex Kerfoot talked in practice about how everyone's buying in to this new mentality, this new way of playing, and at least until recently, the California trip, I know you were on it, Dave, the Leafs scored 18 goals in those 3 games. I mean, it's an offensive explosion that we haven't really seen from this team, so I think everyone was kind of expecting the offense to get going in conjunction with their newfound defensive play. Do you think that's something they could balance and maybe have both of those cylinders operating simultaneously?
Well, it's something they're going to have to try to, right? I think there's a lot to be said for the way they're going about their business because they're the second best defensive team in the league right now behind the Calgary Flames in terms of goals against per game. But on the other hand, you know, even with that offensive explosion of the Western road trip, they're averaging fewer than 3 goals a game for the first time, AK, since they tanked in 2015-2016 to get Austin Matthews, right? So they haven't been this offensively inert in an awfully long time. So they're averaging 2.87 goals a game. The Colorado Avalanche are doing it a very different way. They've won 7 of their last 8 games by trying to outscore people and, you know, getting 7 goals here and 6 goals there, and they're averaging a league-best 4 goals a game, an offense that's even more potent right now than the vaunted Edmonton Oilers. So, yeah, this is an interesting contrast in styles. You know, I think the Colorado Avalanche are kind of doing it the old-fashioned way of regular season hockey, where you say, hey, we're going to let it fly. We're going to have some fun. We're going to, you know, release the horses. The Maple Leafs are trying to play playoff-style hockey in November. And the question is, yeah, they're doing it, but A, is it sustainable? And B, will they sustain it?
I think that is exactly the question. And it's a tough test. I mean, we've seen the Leafs play some of the best teams in the NHL. I mean, they haven't really had to play a team maybe like Colorado yet. Again, you mentioned how hot they've been, and that's going to be a very tough test for a guy like Jack Campbell, who's coming off an incredible month of November. He's been so good. And all of a sudden, Austin Matthews, who was much maligned, And we saw the interview with Gord Miller on Sunday where he's like, honestly, I don't really care what you guys have to say about anything. And listen, he showed and demonstrated he's still the five-on-five maestro, scoring in three consecutive games, all of which were in even strength. But for the Leafs tonight, I mean, you know, it's the classic return from the West Coast. And they've had a couple of days to acclimate themselves back to Eastern Standard Time. But we've heard Carlos say on the show so many times, the toughest game is the first game after a West Coast trip. And, you know, three games in California, you return home, it's probably Sunday night after beating the Ducks. You're feeling pretty good. You get the day off on Monday. You're back to practice on Tuesday. But in your experience covering this team, the return from the West Coast, how have they fared?
No, it's often been tough. There's no doubt about it. But there's something about this team that seems different. Like, I'm going to be really interested to see how it goes over the long haul here, because this is really about the long haul. And we're still 5 months, AK. We're still 5 months from the beginning of May when the playoffs are going to begin. And so it's really tough to really take anything seriously on December 1st when you look at the, you know, how long the road is ahead. But I will say this, like, the idea that these guys are buying in is undeniable. They're buying into what Sheldon Keefe is selling. They're buying into even the idea that they didn't get a day off on the West Coast, which to me was mind-boggling. Like, I've never been with a team that went to California every day is 25 Celsius and sunny, and they practiced every day. They did not get a day
Sheldon
free.
Keefe. I know. Worst coach.
And I know, like, a lot of people can't relate to that. They're like, hey, they're lucky to be in the NHL. They're making millions of dollars. All those things are true. But there's a certain unwritten rule of road tripping, especially when you're on a hot streak and you're playing so well as the Maple Leafs are, and you're doing everything the coach is asking, and you're playing good defense, and, you know, you're playing good offense, and you're leaving no doubt that you're absolutely buying into what the coach is selling. You would have had the thought that they would have said, okay, there's going to be a golf day here or a fishing day, whatever you guys want to do. It didn't happen. And nobody seemed particularly perturbed about it. Now, we don't
they
get
were.
In the locker room.
They were. You're telling me, like, come on, Sheldon. Like, let us go tee it up at Riviera for a minute. Let's play nine. Like, come on, fellas.
Now, they could have got nine in. Like, I snuck in a few rounds myself around their arduous practice schedule, and so you could definitely get some holes in, but it did get dark around 5 p.m and they were practicing at 1 p.m a lot of the days, so there wasn't, you know, it wasn't a post-practice round. You would have had to have gotten up pretty early, which is not really the pro athlete mindset these days. These guys like to get their sleep, as the sports science people tell them it's so necessary. But yeah, my question is, AK, like, is this a good idea to be going this hard this early? I understand. It's almost like if you're a Catholic, they're doing their penance for the sins they committed in the playoffs, right? Like, you were bad boys in the spring when you blew that 3-1 series lead to the Montreal Canadiens. Now you're going to have a season-long penance to make good on this, right? Because, you know, and there's going to be no days off, and there's going to be no fun. And we're not going to allow you to go out into the California sun because you lost to the Canadians after you had a 3-1 lead, you bums. And that's kind of the unspoken thing here. And the question is, can these guys kind of handle that? Like, they're handling it now, but I'm wondering, are they going to be able to handle it 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months from now when the playoffs will begin?
Yeah, does it wear on you? And yesterday, John Tavares was talking about how, and we remember the dress code thing, how, oh, wear whatever you want, no big deal. That was rescinded by management earlier this season after their pretty rough start. And that hadn't really been publicized to my knowledge, Dave.
No.
And that was revealed yesterday that, oh, yeah, management decided to nix us wearing whatever we wanted to wear. And, you know, you heard guys like Austin Matthews, like, this is great. I mean, I'm happy that I don't have to wear a suit into the Scotiabank Arena or on the road every day. And you are right. This is a no-fun, all-business team right now. And listen, it's working. I mean, they've won 14 of 16 games. They're playing exceptional hockey, perhaps the best hockey we've seen from the Matthews-Marner era. And
it is.
That's a very exciting proposition. And I don't know if I want to – and we'll talk to Pooley at 7:45 about – and I think what you're intimating is exactly it. I mean, this is a very business-like approach, a very professional environment that the Toronto Maple Leafs are a part of right now. And mm-hmm. I think that's something the fan base should be welcoming more so than anything, because for years that has been kind of the criticism. They've been kind of happy-go-lucky, haven't been able to step on your throats when you really need to. You're up 3-1 against the Montreal Canadiens, and they couldn't close out that series. So if this new persona, this new approach to the Toronto Maple Leafs is what has them executing on all cylinders, then so be it.
Yeah, look, and I mean, yeah, not criticizing it. I'm just wondering about it because, like, we just know with the laws of the jungle, right, in pro sports. And the idea that you're going to, you know, go sprinting out of the gate like they're sprinting out of this particular gate, you know, there's a reason why, you know, a lot of teams kind of ease into the regular season and try and ramp up as the season goes along, because it's kind of the natural order of things. And I think the Maple Leafs have been put in a position where this is a make-or-break year. There's so much pressure on the management group. There's so much pressure on the coaching staff. There's so much, hey, ownership feels pressure because, you know, they're not getting any younger, some of them, and they want to see this team succeed before it's all said and done. Everybody in this organization is absolutely on high alert after what happened against Montreal. And that's as it should be, because what happened against Montreal was a debacle that should never have happened. And the idea that you haven't won a playoff series going on 18 years is a disgrace. There's no other way to put it. But the question is, now that you've sort of abandoned the idea that you're going to ramp up toward the playoffs, and you've abandoned the idea that you kind of do it the way most teams do it, and you're just going to say, we're going to play exactly like we want to play in the playoffs on November 29th and December 1st and December 15th and January 15th. And it's just, okay, I know you're trying to do that, and maybe you'll be able to do it. Who knows? And maybe it'll work just as you planned it. But my question is, what toll will it take? What, you know, what, you know, the mental toll it will take, the physical toll it will take, will that be enough to sustain you into May when you're going to have to actually be performing the way you want to perform?
We have Dave Poulin for Leafs Breakfast coming up in about 30 minutes' time. But coming up next, Enoch Mwamba from your Toronto Argonauts, who host the Hamilton Ticats in the East Final on Sunday afternoon at BMO Field. Pumped for that, and pumped to welcome Enoch to the show next. For the fifth time this season, the Toronto Argonauts hook up with the Hamilton Ticats on Sunday afternoon down at BMO Field. But this time, a bird to the Grey Cup is on the line. Welcome back to First Up, Karolnik and Festchuk with you. Pumped to welcome in one of the top linebackers in the Canadian Football League from your Toronto Argonauts. It is Enoch Mwamba. What's up, Enoch?
What's up? What's up? What's up, guys? Thanks for having me this morning.
It is our pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time. I mean, it's been a wild ride for you guys this season, winning the East, and you lost to Hamilton in the Labor Day Classic. But since then, the Argos have dominated the Ticats, three straight wins. What is it about the battle of the QEW that brings out the best in the Toronto Argonauts, Enoch?
Man, you know, the biggest thing for us wasn't even about our opponent as much as it was about, you know, us growing as a team. And literally every game that we played throughout this regular season, we kind of looked introspectively and try to grow and trying to gain something from each game. And I feel like we did that. And every time we kept playing against the Ticats, you know, they're our rival. They're right next to us. And to be honest with you, they were the king of the East, if you want to call them. Right. And so we knew that we needed a higher level of focus every time we played against them, especially having lost them the first time we played against them. So, I think it brought to a higher level of focus when we played them. And here we are.
I think you guys have to be very confident about Sunday, simply considering all the success you've had at BMO Field this year. 6-1, but let's be honest, that loss to Edmonton didn't really count. I mean, all of the starting players for the Argos were sitting that night. So basically, you're undefeated. That's the way I look at it down at BMO Field. Now, I've heard McLeod Bethel-Thompson talk about the grass at BMO Field kind of being the differentiating factor for you guys. One of the reasons that you've been so successful is because you play on a unique playing surface. What do you attribute all the success of BMO Field to?
Maybe the grass is, you know, what it is. It might be part of the reason. But to me, I feel like again, if you look at the theme of our season, it was, you know, we play a game, we kind of, again, like I mentioned earlier, we're trying to learn from each game, and whenever we lose somewhere, you know, we felt like we let each other down, we let ourselves down, and so we'd want to win, and it came just in time where we'd come back and play home, and so, you know, try to put some streaks in a row there and then here and there throughout the regular season. But every time we're coming back, I feel like it was a kind of a reset. And we felt at home. We felt comfortable. And, you know, it just happened to be the places and the times where we needed the wins the most. And we answered the bell. And so the biggest thing, though, the biggest message I know I started to share with the guys is, you know, everything we've done up until now throughout the regular season means absolutely nothing. You know, the beautiful thing about the game of football is, you know, this part of the game, this part of the season where it's playoff time and it's a one-game season. You know, everything before this means absolutely nothing up until now. And, you know, we're ready to go.
Enoch Mwamba is our guest from the Toronto Argonauts. The Argos take on the Ticats down at BMO Field. We will have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away for that game for the East Final in about 10 minutes' time, so you're going to want to stick around for that. So you're on the defensive side of the ball, Enoch, and Hamilton poses a lot of threats on that on their offense. I mean, Jeremiah Masoli, he has been really good in the second half of the season. It sounds like Braylon Addison will be back for the Ticats. Brandon Banks, I mean, maybe not what he once was, but still poses a significant threat. What are your biggest concerns from the defensive perspective of Hamilton?
To be honest with you, we're not very concerned too much, and that's not even to take him lightly at all or try to sound overly confident. The truth is, you know, we're extremely confident in our game plan. I know 2 days ago, the day after we found out who we were going to play in the finals, in the East Finals, I couldn't even sleep. But part of that had to do with the fact that, you know, I wasn't exactly sure what angle we're going to take when we're going to attack this offensive team with the Hamilton Ticats. And so I remember, you know, coming into the facility extremely early before a lot of the guys here, and, you know, it was a light day that day, but I came in early and I, you know, didn't sleep much. And for once this throughout this season, it had nothing to do with my little girls at home. You know, I couldn't sleep much, but I was up at 4 a.m., started watching film from their game against Montreal, and came to the facility and talked with Coach Jones, Coach Ivan, Coach Stoops, and, you know, spent some time in the office over there. And he was kind of walking me through the game plan and what he was thinking and what he was planning on doing, and as far as attacking, you know, their offense and whatnot. And right after I spoke with him, you know, I was at ease and I was at peace. And so, like I said, it's not too much to be concerned about, but more so it's really to be excited about. I'm excited about the game plan. I love where it's going, and it's going to be fun.
So all those days out from the game, Enoch, and you couldn't sleep, and we all hear from the sports science guys that sleep is the superpower. Athletes got to, if they want to concern themselves with any recovery stuff, you don't worry about the high-tech stuff. You just get your good sleep. So what are you going to be able to do to get your proper rest on the night before the game? Like Saturday night, how are you going to find a way to rest that mind and be ready to be on the field at BMO Field on Sunday?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sleep is going to be a priority. I have a lovely, amazing, beautiful wife at home. Even though I have, you know, we have two little girls at home, she was already telling me, hey, Enoch, you know what? We know how important this week is for you. Even that specific day where I left early, I told her I'd be leaving a little bit later, and I kind of bailed on her, but she was so amazing. Definitely going to be that, you know, my wife, and I have a great group of people around me, that are going to be supporting, us as a family as well, to be able to, you know, help us and help me specifically, you know, put my best foot forward and get as much rest, as much sleep, and really anything that I need to, be the best player that I can be, the best teammate that I can be, while at the same time being the best husband and father at home.
Don't worry about sleep, Enoch. I mean, it was Nas in New York State of Mind who said that sleep is the cousin of death. So you worry about film and being ready for Sunday, and sleep can be secondary. In the East semifinal, Patrick Levels of the Montreal Alouettes guaranteed victory. And we know how that worked out for the Owls, and they lost to Hamilton in a game that, you know, Montreal could have won if it wasn't for a couple of unfortunate turnovers. When you see opposing players guarantee victory, and I'm not asking you to guarantee victory, although it would be nice fodder for our show if you decided to do so. As a player in the CFL, and you see Patrick Levels go out and say something like that, how do you perceive it?
Listen, it's just adding fuel to the fire, adding fuel to the opposite side, to the opposition. And I've spent too much time in the league to be that guy. I'll tell you what, we're extremely confident. I will say that. I'm excited about the game plan. I will say that. But again, when I remember seeing it on social media, and I took it and I sent it to some of the guys in Montreal, you know, they were saying as well, we didn't see that. We didn't know this was out there like that. But, you know, it's not always the right approach to take, regardless of how you feel about your team. But, you know, again, I treat football like I treat life. I never want to be too high. I never want to be too low, no matter what happens. And so as confident as I am about my team, as confident as I am about myself, my skills and my abilities, you know, to me, saying those words, uttering words like that won't help us at all when it comes to game time. And so I'd rather let my game speak for itself. I'd rather let my defense speak for itself when it comes to game time.
Oh, and Brandon Banks is coming through the middle. Enoch, you are going to just crush him. I can't wait to see that on Sunday afternoon down at BMO Field.
That is guaranteed.
Yeah, all right. Take that, Brandon Banks. You're washed up. In any case, Enoch, thank you so much for doing this for us. Best of luck on Sunday against the Argos, hosting the Ticats in the East Final. The winner goes to the Grey Cup on December 12th at Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton. So pumped for the game, my man. Best of luck.
All right, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Enoch Mwamba from your Toronto Argonauts, guaranteeing that Brandon Banks is going to be feeling it through the middle. Brandon Banks Day, if you recall, 2019 was just ridiculous. Like, every game was going off for 150 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
He has gotten it going a little bit in the second half of the season. He had a terrible first half. It was so bad. It's banged up and couldn't figure it out, but he has been pretty damn good lately, which is a little concerning for the Argos. And when that guy is on, he is as dominant a player as anyone in the CFL.
Well, that can be a concern. But we just got the guarantee.
It's actually, no worries.
No worries.
No worries.
Going to be crushing Mr. Banks on the regular on Sunday afternoon at BMO Field.
The idea of guaranteeing victory, and I'm sure you saw the Patrick Levels clips from the Montreal Alouettes. Like, it was just really stupid.
And then
it's funny because Banks, the aforementioned Banks, ultimately caught a touchdown pass. He basically mossed him, like, right over his head. He's just like,
And
he's like, and imagine the chirps. Just vicious, relentless chirps. You guarantee victory and you get a touchdown dropped on your skull. Oh, that's
the thing.
That's a tough one. That's a dangerous proposition. Exactly.
If you're gonna pull the Mark Messier, the Joe Namath, like, you gotta play like Mark Messier and Joe Namath, right? Like, you can't be halfway in on a guarantee, man. And that seems like the situation in Montreal.
All right, so we've got two pairs of tickets to see the Argos in the East Final against the hated Hamilton Ticats. And Mark Rowe, I know you're listening. You know Mark Rowe from SportsCenter, big Ticats fan. So maybe we'll see if D-Row wants to head down and we could, you know, go head-to-head in a little Argos versus Ticats showdown. But
if you
want to be there on Sunday at BMO Field, of course, you could purchase tickets to the East Final at argonauts.ca/tickets. Call 416-870-1050 to claim yours. That's 416-870-1050. 20 fingers will answer the phone. And if you can woo him, if you can convince him to give you a pair of tickets, they will be yours. And we've got some good tickets to give away as well. Again, the Argos and the Ticats. That's going to be a fun one on Sunday afternoon. The easiest way to win Raptors tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. You can find our latest giveaway post and tag who you'd want to bring to see the Raptors and the Bulls, plus a $100 vanilla Visa prepaid card from Petro-Canada. A winner will be announced right here on First Up on Friday morning. We have Leafs Breakfast with Dave Poulin in about 12 minutes' time. We'll tee up a very, very alluring matchup with the Colorado Avalanche in town tonight to take on the red-hot Toronto Maple Leafs. That's coming up next on First Up. All right, First Up continues here on TSN 1050. We've had a couple people text in about a certain sound that was emitting from Enoch Mwamba's phone, and it was very reminiscent of a clip from back in the day on TSN Drive. Shout out to Dave Naylor with Sean Burke. And so, 20 Fingers, why don't we queue up when we welcome in Enoch, and here's what ensued. From your Toronto Argonauts, it is Enoch Mwamba. What's up, Enoch?
What's up? What's up? What's up, guys? Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, there you go. Wow. You know, you're doing it's 7:20 in the morning. Enoch's like, oh my God, I got to join this loser Karolnik on this radio show. All right, let's do it. And, you know, he was multitasking. I think that's the way you got to look at it.
What's up? What's up? What's up, guys?
That's a blatant flush. You would think in this day and age, Dave, that everyone has mastered the mute button, right? Because we do so much. Whether it's Zoom or you do way more calls for work or whatever than you used to. I guess maybe that wouldn't apply to a professional football player, but it's quite a flush from our boy.
That was quite a flush.
Do you think he realized? Do you think he realized, like, ooh, that was very pronounced?
I think he had to realize it. I mean, that was a that was a real slip of the mute button, right? Like, you've got to – first of all, can we agree that it is socially unacceptable – to take a call while you're seeing a man about a dog in the facilities, taking a bio break, whatever you want to call it.
Well, let me just say we do a conference call, the TSN 1050 conference call, every day at 10 a.m. And generally speaking, I'm visiting the facilities during that call after the show.
But you're going to make that public now.
Yeah, well, apparently I just did. But, Enoch was doing some work. And, Chrissy, why don't we play it once more?
What's up? What's up, guys?
What's up? So it brings us back to a classic moment in TSN 1050 history. Were you part of that show, Dave, with Sean Burke, with Naylor?
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, it was like 8 years ago. But Naylor was interviewing Sean Burke, and here's what ensued on that fine afternoon.
Of course, you are the goaltender coach, and this part of the world, we are interested in him because he's an Olympian going as the number three goaltender.
I think we held it a lot, held it together much better than Naylor did. If there's anything we can take solace in, it's that.
Yeah, Naylor lost it there a little bit, which is understandable. I mean, it's hard to, I'm not even sure. You're a professional broadcaster. Well, I'm just a pretender fill-in. But let me ask you, like, should we have acknowledged it? Should we have said, "Hey,
yes.
Enoch"? Like,
I regret not acknowledging it. Yeah.
Did
really
not
do.
Use the mute button, Enoch. I mean,
should we call him back?
He could have come up with an excuse. He could have said, "Look, I'm a father to two daughters," which of course he mentioned, and you know, my little girl was on the potty, and I wanted to make sure that she was good before I took the call. Sorry about that, fellas. And we would have been cool with that, right? He could have probably. He's a quick thinking dude. As a elite athlete, I think he would have had the mental, you know, sort of agility to find a way to make it sound as though he wasn't indeed using the facilities himself.
Our man Brent tweeting in at First Up 1050. That's why he said "What's up" so many times. He was trying to cover it up. That's likely theory.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me this morning.
All right, that's Enoch Mwamba of the Argos. Hopefully they do a lot of flushing of the Tie Cats on Sunday afternoon and advance to the Grey Cup on... Oh, wow, all right. Didn't think that really merited a sound effect to that degree, but thank you very much, 20 Fingers. I really appreciate that.
He all but guaranteed it. I mean, Enoch was maybe it was because of the flush that Enoch felt he needed to perform for us, and he brought it. Like, he was basically saying, like, don't worry about Brandon Banks. I'm going to be crushing Brandon Banks, and we are not particularly concerned. Did he say we're not really concerned at all about the Hamilton Tiger Cats? They're
not worried. We've had Enoch on a bunch of times, and he's always kind of – it's a similar refrain from him where it's like we focus on ourselves, we're very confident internally, and everything that – like the opposition is irrelevant, essentially. Yeah. That's kind of how they proceed. And, I mean, in this case, Hamilton's a damn good team. Let's be honest here. Wow. It's going to be a very tough test. You look at the betting line. It's a pick-em. It's a coin flip game. And I think if you have to look at anything with the Argos, it's their success at BMO Field. They don't lose there. They blew out the Ticats in week 15 the last time they played, and there was some good fortune in the first half for the Argos as far as drop balls and plays that just kind of went awry for Hamilton. But I'm very confident, much like Enoch, that the Argos will take down the Ticats on Sunday in the East Final. And I believe we have our two winners for the ticket, so hopefully they enjoy the game and They'll see me and Al's brother down there Sunday as well. If Al's brother's in attendance, you need to come up with a big W, right? I mean, I'm sure McLeod, Bethel Thompson, Ryan Dinwiddie look out in the stands. They see Al's brother sitting there. They're like, boys, we need to put on a show for the host of Leafs Lunch because otherwise we'll get carved. And listen, if Al's brother's picking Ticats, that bodes very well for the Argos as well because, man, that guy sucks at picking NFL games. It is a truly
maybe he should
impressive
move over to the CFL. Try the CFL. NFL's not working out.
Try the CFL. Try college football. Yeah. I don't know. He's got to pick some winners at some point. Shout out to Al's brother. Leafs Lunch at noon with Al's brother and Julia Tesheri. Speaking of the Leafs, Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst, is going to join us on the other side for Leafs Breakfast. We'll tee up a big one tonight at Scotiabank Arena. Nazem Kadri makes his first return to Toronto, and he is red hot. And as are the Colorado Avalanche. And we're looking forward to that. A game you can hear right here on TSN 1050. Leafs Breakfast with Dave Poulin next on First Up. Muamba. What's up, Enoch?
What's going on? What's up? What's up, guys? Thanks for having me this morning.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
A big one down at Scotiabank Arena tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Colorado Avalanche team we haven't seen in quite some time here in the beautiful city of Toronto. Also welcoming back Nazem Kadri, who we saw sitting courtside at the Toronto Raptors game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, you can keep in mind that the Leafs game tonight is on TSN 1050, and we welcome in our good buddy for Leafs Breakfast is Dave Poulin. What's up, Dave?
How are you, Aaron? Nazem Kadri back in the building.
Yeah, I was surprised you weren't sitting next to Nazem at courtside yesterday, Dave.
I missed that invite.
Yeah, you would always be top of my list if I was sitting courtside. But how do you look at Colorado coming in? They are red hot. They're the top scoring team in the National Hockey League, and the Leafs have been amongst the best. It's the Leafs in Calgary as far as stinginess. As far as allowing goals, I mean, these two teams, it's really an interesting matchup of scoring prowess against defensive responsibility.
Well, it is. They've been through a lot early in the year as well, Aaron. You know, they went through missing some key people, and pretty much everyone has picked them to come out of that central division. That's a tough division. And, you know, they seem to be getting it together now and fully entertaining. But, you know, it's unusual when teams as good as Colorado and as good as Carolina change their goaltenders at this point, kind of in their arc, you know, and I think that was a little bit unexpected for them. I think they thought they were going to be able to keep Grubauer, and they weren't. And all of a sudden, you know, they get Darcy Kuemper, and that took a little bit of time, but they appear to be back and rolling and getting bodies back in the lineup. And there's so much talent there. And they're also at a, you know, for other teams, still a little bit at an enviable place on the salary cap curve because they haven't quite got to, you know, to the danger danger level there. They're getting pretty close to it, but they'll have to make some decisions on key players. But they've been fortunate because they've got their key guys signed. And so they're a team that should be a significant Stanley Cup factor this year. And, you know, and then there's opportunity when you get a guy like Nathan MacKinnon out and Nazem, who is fully capable on the offensive side, steps up. And It's fun for me to watch him mature because I dealt with an 18-year-old, 19-year-old Nazem Kadri and just to watch him mature. It's like watching your own kids grow up and to see him play like he's playing right now.
Well, Dave, obviously you talk about how the Avalanche have the bulk of their core signed in the long term. But of course, Nazem Kadri, an exception to that, with his $4.5 million cap hit, one of the great bargains in the league and a testament to good negotiating by Lou Lamoriello, but he's an unrestricted free agent at age 31 this summer. What do you think the market for Nazem Kadri will be when you look at the numbers he's putting up right now with, what is it, last seven games, 16 points. He's leading the Avalanche in scoring, fourth in the league.
Well, it's really dependent on where you see him fitting into your organization, Dave. I mean, you know, he is in a pretty golden spot right there because of the talent around him. And, you know, I think on a top team, he's a two. You know, he's clearly scoring like a one right now, but I think he's a two, you know, on a championship caliber team. And that's kind of always what we thought about him. We thought if he's your second line center and capable offensively as he is, and yet, you know, can win faceoffs, can do different things, and can present matchup problems. He's an ideal too. Now, you know, where that goes with the market, I mean, he may be a guy who's made some money as well, and it could depend on Colorado winning or not. And, you know, if they do go ahead and win and he's a big part of it, that will factor in, because they've got some flexibility too and money coming off the books. There's other guys. It's not just him. I think Barakovsky is a UFA as well. And then there's a couple of other guys on defense that are. So they're going to be in a constant challenging point now. They have another guy, you know, in Nathan MacKinnon, who has 1 year left. And when they're negotiating with anyone, they'll be keeping a long eye on what's happening with number 29.
Dave, Joey Anderson will make his season debut for the Leafs. And Mark Masters, of course, our colleague at TSN, covers the Leafs. A really interesting story about how the Leafs brought Joey Anderson on the trip to California as a way for him to catch up with his younger brother who plays for the LA Kings. And Joey Anderson was talking about what a nice gesture it was from the organization. I think we all shouldn't be surprised, the classy gesture from the Leafs. But as far as his impact, he's going to be playing with David Kampf and Pierre Engvall tonight. What do you expect from Joey Anderson in his season debut?
Well, still a young guy that has promise. I mean, he's, you know, he went through that national team in Ann Arbor and was pretty highly touted guy. He played for Scotty Sandlin for a couple of years at Duluth, and you know, and when he came across, there wasn't a lot known about him, but you know, I think he's had an opportunity now to show them what he can do for a couple of years down in on the Marlies, and they're going to see what they have. I mean, they're going to continue. They have the luxury right now with how well things are going. As long as they can maneuver, this would be a pretty clean salary cap transaction. And they're going to continue to try and figure out what they have in the organization. And just as they're doing rotating three defensemen, we're going to see some different players play here. And the opportunity is still there with Mikheyev out of the lineup to see, you know, what a young forward. And they'd be asking specifically what he does, what he brings with the Marlies, what role he plays with them. And that's the communication with the American Hockey League team. But it's a great time to try things like this when things are going so well. I mean, think of the environment he's stepping into now, and he's stepping into a really positive locker room that's on a roll. He's being plugged in with players who are playing very, very well. And so that's the luxury of a good team, guys, is being able to do these things under good circumstances, not under, holy smokes, is this a panic move because we're bringing some kid up from the Marlies to try and save the day. That's not what this is at all. And so when you've created that environment, as the Leafs have right now, and that the strength in the locker room and the way things are going on the ice, it's just much, you know, it's like anything in life. When things are going well, it's much, much easier to try different things.
So, Dave, it's interesting the way the Leafs have approached this season. We know about the debacle that was the collapse against Montreal in the playoffs. And it's as though they're on their best behavior right out of the gate, right? They're talking about how businesslike they are. They went to California, never took a day off in the California sun, practiced every day. Obviously, they're playing lockdown hockey in a way we haven't seen it before. Second best team in the league defensively in terms of goals against average. You know, the question I have for you, you've been on teams that have gone deep, gone to the final, and you know, we know how long a haul it is for those teams. And I'm wondering, when you look at this team and how they've kind of sprinted out of the gate and said, we're going to play what seems like playoff-style hockey right from the beginning of the season. I'm wondering, like, what are the challenges for them in terms of sustaining that? Because the playoffs don't begin for another 5 months.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point. And it's a great point, Dave. And can you sustain it? And yes, I played on teams that were good all year long. And when I looked at the California trip, California was always a real carrot for us because it was the only southern city. And so you usually got a break of 6 or 7 days in California. And then it became immediately, okay, how are you going to handle a California break? And you only had the one game out there. It was either the start of the road trip or the end of the road trip. And what days you were going to get off, whatever. Now, our best teams in Philadelphia that went through there, we practiced every day of a California trip. And so I thought of that when you were chatting about it earlier, like, is that unusual? And here was the modus operandi of Mike Keenan, 8 a.m. practices every day.
Wow.
So up at 6:30, breakfast. I can still picture having breakfast. in that Marriott hotel. So you'd be up literally at 6 o'clock, and there was a big counter, and everybody'd be having breakfast, and it'd be a buzz, you know, to 6 o'clock in the morning. It's beautiful morning setting out. And at that point, there was only one locker room in the old, visiting locker room in the old LA Forum. So they built a de facto locker room in the parking garage at the Marriott Hotel. And it was a screen mesh parking garage. So you'd troop down to the parking lot. You'd be putting your gear on in a steel cage in the underground parking lot at the Marriott. And you'd be getting on a bus to go to an 8 a.m. practice. And everyone was so happy. They were so happy. And you knew you were going to have about a 45-minute to an hour-long practice, and you'd be hooting and hollering on the bus on the way over to Culver Rink in Culver City, and you'd be done at 9 o'clock in the morning every day. You'd have the whole day ahead of you every day in California. And that's what we did, but we knew we were getting up at 6 in the morning to practice again the next day. It didn't matter if, you know, how good a team we were, and we were really good. And so I think it was interesting that they did skate every day. They had some time off, you know, and you know, they'd have afternoons, and they would have been down in Manhattan Beach or wherever they were, and, you know, sitting outside having lunch and enjoying it, but also enjoying the fact that it had already been a work day. And Dave, I think this is part of the art of the locker room that's developing there. And you don't paint the picture of the locker room and have it be a perfect painting right away. And they've gone through some iterations. And there could be significant contributors in that locker room right now that aren't even there anymore. I mean, Joe Thornton, and for what he did when he went through here, could be having an impact right now on the Toronto Maple Leafs locker room, something he did or said at a key moment. And the makeup of it right now appears to be very good, but it's also been contributed to by different characters along the way. And right now, if the question came up, and I'll reflect back to my own experience, if the question came up and someone said, oh, are we really practicing today? Three different guys would jump on him and say, hey, we're practicing today. We're going to have a great practice. We'll be done at 1 o'clock. End the conversation. And that would be the end of the conversation. And so that's, you know, that's what we're watching. They've got kind of a light schedule in December. I say that they've only got 13 games. They've got a really, I think, a really favorable December schedule. And they go away in mid-December, but they're back. And I think they only play one game away between, like, over the Christmas break. So I think from, like, the 20th to, I don't know, mid-January, or no, I'm sorry, late in the first week of January. So over that course of close to 2.5 weeks, they only have one away game. So they're home over the Christmas break. So they'd be looking at all these different factors and saying, okay, we've got 13 games. And the other thing, you know, I can build this any way you want to, Dave. I can say you've got 27 games left until February 1st, and that's a 3-week Olympic break. You know, and you've played, you know, what have you played? You've played 25 games right now. So you've got almost the exact same number of games left as you have right now. You know, right now, your record is terrific. It's 16-6-1. Our record's going to be exactly that good for the next 27 games before the Olympic break, or better. So, Bill, you know, break it up however you want to break it up. But right now, when you're rolling along and things are going well, it's easy to pose all these different things and take from the leadership group and say, here's what we're doing, here's why we're practicing in California, and there's no questions asked.
In conversation with TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. Dave, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the name Brian Kelly, the now former head football coach of Notre Dame. You, of course, a storied alumnus of the university. How are you and the other alums feeling about Kelly's departure and what's to come next for the program?
I don't think the timing is very good, and I don't think the whole look is very good for college sports as a whole. I mean, you've got the situation going on at USC that kind of got the ball rolling, and I don't know. I can't imagine being Brian Kelly and walking into that room yesterday morning to a group of players that you'd recruited, and some of them he's had there for now 4 or 5 years on campus and been through everything he's been through, and preach loyalty and preach team and preach togetherness and tell them, by the way, I'm leaving now. We're 10-1, and we could be in the, depending on how the playoffs play out, we could be in the BCS and be in the championship, you know, playoff, but I'm leaving. I don't know how you have that conversation. Apparently it was a very, very quick one. There were no questions asked, but I don't like the look for college sports at all. It staggers me that a coach would leave you know, before his team is potentially playing in a championship game and just walk out the door. It makes no sense to me at all.
Well, it's just staggering sums of money, too. I mean, LSU, USC just shelling out incredible, incredible amounts. And, I mean, college football is a booming business, clearly. And I guess the players aren't necessarily
that.
Receiving
it's always that. Been that, but this is a whole different level of I don't even know how to explain it. But, so my phone was lighting up pretty good the other night without a question.
I'm sure. As always, Dave, we appreciate you taking the time for us on Leafs Breakfast and look forward to chatting with you again next week when you join us for your regular Wednesday appearance. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. That is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. Yeah, I can only imagine. Brian Kelly, 7 a.m. meeting, calls for his team. Hey, everyone, just got 95 mil. I'll see you later. But
I mean,
that's the redoubted situation, right?
It's you know, the hypocrisy of college sports is you know, well documented and has been, you know, enumerated many times. But this is I'm with Pooley on this one. Like these deals these coaches are getting, you know, $110 million for Lincoln Riley at USC and you know, something in the range of 95 to 100 for Brian Kelly at LSU. It's staggering, and it just makes you cringe when you hear the argument about why they can't pay the players and this whole juggernaut of a billion plus dollar multi-billion dollar industry that is college sports, you know, running on the back of free labor essentially. I mean, it's hard to imagine it still exists, and yet it does.
I know. Image and likeness. Was it Spencer Rattler was in Oklahoma was signing autographs for a bill 50 a pop, and now he's transferring out of there trying to get a new gig.
Yeah.
As a quarterback. So, I mean, it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot, but man, being a coach in college football or being a player in Major League Baseball, a free agent, two of the more lucrative spots in the professional sports world at this very moment. He is Dave Fetchuk. I'm Aaron Korolnik. The third hour, first up on the way, one of our favorites, Liam McHugh, the American James Duthie from the NHL on TNT, will join us at 8:45. I guess Liam didn't have to go to Regina for a CFL game, so maybe it's not the most apt comparison anymore, but he will join us, and we have Bang or What coming up at 8:20 in a jam-packed third hour of First Up here on TSN 1050.